You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You asked Him to be your Lord. That you prayed accurately. That's praying on purpose. What you did was you took what you believed in your heart and you said it out loud and you followed the directions in the Bible. You know, people pray all the time. And one thing that happens to people, and it happens a lot, is when they don't see the manifestation, they'll pray again. And then when they don't see the manifestation the next day, they'll pray again. And when they don't see the manifestation the next day, they'll pray again. What happens, is they're asking amiss. So say you pray for something and you don't see the manifestation the next day. It's common for that to cause some concern. But our response to that is to praise God that He heard your prayer and that He answered your prayer and that you received your answer when you prayed. See, because you believed God, you believed Him when you asked Him, and He said yes, you believed it. But what happens is people will throw that seed away and pray again, and ask again, instead of praising Him for that answer. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And that's where the patience comes in and being willing to just stay narrow-minded on a subject. You got your answer because you prayed accurately. No matter what it looks like. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And here's an interesting verse. People will pray for a loved one to be born again. Now, it's important to do that. But here's the thing. We build faith in our hearts by looking at these promises of God and seeing where, you know, God, He said that all men should come to repentance. That means changing their mind about God. Receiving Him as Lord, God said that He would, that no man should perish but come to a knowledge of the Lord. He wants all people to be born again. Now, we know that not everybody's going to be born again. You know, there's just some people that just are not going to do it. But as far as God's concerned, He wants them. So when we pray for somebody to be born again, and we pray on that, we get that release in our heart. We got our answer. We need to keep thanking God, keep praising God for their salvation. It may look like it's too late, but I promise you, if you stand on His word and you keep believing Him, they may even go to their deathbed. And you may be a long ways away from them. But you keep believing God for their salvation. He can do miracles. I've seen him go in there in the last moments. And then people get born again. And you got the answer to your prayer. Amen? I've seen that personally. But you have to stand fast. You have to stay in there. What happens is sometimes people will say, well, they had a lot of chances. What the heck? No, stay in there. Stay in there. Keep believing. No matter what anybody else says, just stay there. Now go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now here's the thing. We preach that when we're getting somebody born again. But that verse right there is the very basis for absolutely everything else that you're going to receive from heaven. But what it tells you there is that you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Amen? So you're gonna have to come up with something that you believe in your heart so that you can have something that you can confess with your mouth. Now the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So in order for us to build faith in something, we're going to have to look at it. Now, obviously, when before we were born again, somebody came along and told you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that you could ask him to be your Lord and Savior. He would forgive all your sins, wash them away. They told you that God raised him back to life. And that if you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You know something? I believed that God raised Jesus back to life a long, 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 long time before I got born again. You start hearing about that. That's one of the wonderful things about America is you can hear about Jesus all over the place. You know, I started hearing about him being raised back to life when I was little. You know, and you just hear about it all the time. And, you know, you start building a little bit of faith in that. And then finally somebody just brings it home and really tells you what that means. What's going on is you're building faith. You're hearing about it, and you keep hearing about it, and pretty soon it builds faith in your heart so that you can confess something with your mouth. Well, you know, I met a Chinese couple one time, and they were in the hardware store, and I got to visiting with them, and I found out they were Christians, and I said, well, praise God. And I said, did you, was you born again in China or was you born again in America? America, they said, it's easy to get born again in America. You know, because you can hear it all the time. You know, there's countries. Yeah, there's countries where if you even hear about Jesus, it's in a secret place. And you're in great danger just hearing that name. So it'll be a little harder for somebody to get that word of faith preached to them. The number one thing, go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The number one thing that we need to do is find out what the Word says. See, if we're going to pray something, We're going to have some faith built up in our heart, but we're going to have our faith built on the Word of God. You know, it can't be just something that you heard somewhere. I heard somebody say one time, well, the song said. Who cares what a song said? Song doesn't mean nothing. You know, you might hear somebody say, well, my pastor says, well, I don't really care what your pastor says. If it doesn't match what this says, it doesn't matter. First Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes we were healed. So if you get attacked with the sickness, it's because there's already something that's right. Remember, whenever there's something wrong, it's because there's something right. So if you get attacked with the sickness, you got to find in the Bible where it says you're healed by his stripes. So you feed on these different scriptures where it talks about healing. And then you get that in your heart. It builds faith in you so that you can say, no, I'm not having this sickness. I am healed by his stripes. What did you just do? You just believed in your heart what the word said, and then you confessed with your mouth what you believed in your heart. So what you really did was you prayed accurately. You know, confession not only is that a way of praying, but that is a way of praising God. When you say what his word says, you're talking about him. You're actually praising him. That's a form of praise. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, one popular thing with people is money challenges. You know, money's just one of those things. You know, it drives some religious people crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get the gospel preached around the world without money. You know about Bibles without money. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but you can't buy any gas without money. And you can't buy any food without money. You can't pay your electric bill without money. Money is one of those things. Unfortunately, people spend more time worrying about money than they do praising God. Saying, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So one way you can pray that is, I thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Even if you don't have two pennies to rub together, you can start saying that verse and watch him supply your needs. You can pray and expect results. Go to 1 John chapter 5. One thing I like about God is he writes his directions down for us. He makes it where we can follow these directions, and they're not tricky. They're not tricky. They're easy, and it's usually in a couple of verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That sounds like two simple verses, but there's a whole great big thing. That's a whole statement. He's talking about confidence. How are we going to have confidence before God? By knowing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we can't possibly do anything to put ourselves in that spot except for call on the name of Jesus. We know that we don't have any condemnation from God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 tells us that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Once you're born again, you're in right standing with God. Any condemnation that you may receive is coming from the devil, not God. He's not mad at you. The blood of Jesus took care of that. He wants you to have confidence with Him. He's your loving Heavenly Father. He wants you to have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything, now here's where a lot of religious people get tore up, because they want to read this verse, if you ask what you need or what somebody else needs. It really drives a lot of people crazy. When you tell somebody to pray for themselves, well, that's so selfish. You know, God wants to take care of you. Did you know that? He really does want to take care of you. He created you. He created you and He wants to take care of you. And He not only wants you to have the things that you need, but He wants you to have the things that you desired of Him. Yeah? I don't know why Christians think that they can't have fun. I don't know why Christians think they can't have fun things and receive them from God. You know, just think back when you was a kid or when you had kids and maybe you or one of your kids asked, somebody said, what do you want for Christmas? Said, I want a bike. Did your mom and dad say, well, do you really need that? Is that something that's absolutely necessary for you to have? Or did you say to your kid, do you really need that bike? Or is it just something that you want? Well, it's just something they want. They just want to ride a bike. Did you know God is okay with that? He wants you to have some fun things. He's not a harsh, hard God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He wants you to have fun things. You know, He wants you to have not only your necessities met, but He wants you to have the desires of your heart, but He wants you to have fun too. I don't know why people get this idea where you just gotta grudge through life and grind along, and pretty soon you're gonna get to the pearly gates and then you're gonna have all this stuff. You know, you can enjoy a lot of stuff right down here. He's already given you freely all things with Christ Jesus. I don't know why people don't think these things through. What if you took your favorite kid and you bought him all these toys and all these fun things. Actually, I've seen this once, but and you put him in that room with all these toys, and he played with a pine cone. You know, I mean, I see that. I've seen that before. Little kids would get all these little toys, and they'd end up playing with a box, you know, or something, you know. But they weren't old enough to understand. But we have people that don't enjoy a lot of things in life because they just don't think they deserve them. Well, you're right. You don't deserve them, but they're a free gift. You just as well enjoy them. Amen? You know, you can pray and expect results. See, this is one thing a lot of people, when they go into prayer, they're hoping something will happen. But right here in verse 14, we can ask anything according to His will. His will is His word. That's His word. He gave you His word. The promises of God in Him are yea and amen. They're amen. They're yes. We ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is a biggie. I don't know how many people I've heard say God doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't hear my prayers. Well, He does hear your prayers. Every one of His children, He hears your prayers. We just haven't developed sometimes the ability in our hearts to pray effectively to get answers. Amen? It sometimes we make it hard. Jesus made it easy for us. He said, pray to the Father in my name. Amen? Verse 15 says, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So if we know, first of all, when we realize that we can go boldly into His presence because of the blood of Jesus, that He's not mad at us, and we have His word, when we find His word, and we get it built up in our hearts, we can go in there and say, Father, Your word says that You would supply all my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank You for this. And I receive this in Jesus' name. That's as simple as it gets. And that's as effective as it can possibly be. Thanking Him for His promises. You know, an interesting thing I noticed about Jesus is He thanked His way into some mighty miracles. Did you notice that? When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, did you notice what He did when He got to that tomb? He said, Father, I thank You that You hear my prayers. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. As I would say, if we spent as much time thanking Him as we did asking Him, we'd see a lot more stuff happen. You know, it's important to ask Him in prayer. When we go to the throne, when we go to Him in prayer, we go and remind Him of His word, and then start thanking Him for it, praising Him for it. Start thanking Him for that answer, praising Him for that answer. Praise Him. Say, Father, I thank You that You heard my prayers and that my prayers are answered in Jesus' name. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, one way to pray the perfect will of God is to pray in the Spirit. I don't know if you've noticed, but we all tend to be just a little bit weak in prayer. When we're praying with words that we understand, sometimes we have a habit of getting our flesh involved. We want to pray what we desire. It's more important to pray what God desires. The only way we can truly do that is to pray in the Spirit. And that gets our flesh out of the way. He helps our infirmities. You know, we all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. I don't care how big a ministry that guy on TV has, he has weaknesses. And he needs to pray in the Spirit so the Spirit can help those infirmities. Those infirmities of the flesh. We all have that desire. One thing I noticed is somebody may get deathly ill, and then this person may be pretty old. They may be very old, and they may be in the hospital. And our natural tendency is to jump in there and pray the prayer of faith. You know, we'll get all of us in agreement, and we'll be sitting there praying that this person is going to survive, they're going to get better, and they're going to come home. And that person may be saying, I want to go home. Home. Their true home. And we're sitting here praying that they come home with us. You know, that's why it's so important to listen to people, because they may tell you several times they want to go home. I don't know how frustrating that must be for them when they're ready to go home. And they have 50 of their loved ones praying for them to stay here. Instead of having a quick, peaceful home going. Amen? We have weaknesses in our flesh. And we tend to latch on to things. We tend to latch on to people, and we don't want to let them go. It's painful to let them go sometimes. But the joy they're going to experience is far better than anything they're going to have here. See how the weaknesses of our flesh sometimes don't agree with the Spirit. So it's important for us to pray in the Spirit. And here's the nice thing about Jesus. He's our high priest. And one thing about a high priest, you know, when in the Old Testament, people would take these sacrifices. And they'd take these burnt offerings, were like prayer offerings today, and they'd take these birds, and the high priest would take the feathers off of these birds before they put them on the altar. And when they got on the altar, they'd go up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Father. That's what the high priest did. They were taking the unpleasantness that has taken our flesh off of those prayers. Now Jesus, that's what he does as our high priest. He takes our prayers and he basically takes the feathers off of them. He takes our flesh off of them and offers those prayers to the Father as a perfect prayer. So you don't have to be perfect, but you do need to use the name of Jesus. And you do need to use the Word of God. And don't worry about getting it all perfect, because you're not going to get that. But that's why we have Jesus. Amen? And he's going to help us. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us in our infirmities, our weaknesses. He's going to show us the way. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your Word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you do for us on a day-to-day basis. You watch over us night and day. You never take your eyes off of us. We're on your mind all the time. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.